If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Eric Getchell. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that is also in the description. When it comes to Bible verses that support the Catholic doctrine of purgatory, I have noticed they fall into one of two categories. Those that explicitly speak of purgatory, such as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13 through 15, which reads, "Each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." And Matthew chapter 5, 25 and 26, where Jesus says, "Make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny." And of course, 2 Maccabees 12, 46, which reads, "It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins," which is the most explicit verse on purgatory in the Bible, and which is why Martin Luther wanted to get rid of it. He even said so. But then there are verses in the Bible that don't make much sense unless you take purgatory into consideration. Then they make perfect sense, such as the parable of the faithful and unfaithful slaves, Luke 12, 41 through 48. And Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him doing so. Truly I tell you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the manservants and maidservants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and will punish him and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not make ready or act according to his will shall receive a severe beating. But he who did not know and did what was deserving of a beating shall receive a light beating." Here we see that a servant who does what he's supposed to do being put over all his master's possessions. In other words, he will go to heaven. Then another who beat his fellow servants being assigned to the unfaithful, he will go to hell. But what about the other two? One receives a severe beating, another a light beating. It doesn't say that they were rewarded or condemned. Without purgatory, it's confusing. But if we take purgatory into account, it makes sense. Those other two servants went to purgatory. There is another parable of Jesus in the Bible that I believe, as did Saints Ambrose and Augustine, is about the living helping the souls in purgatory and what it could mean for their own salvation. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 9. "He also said to the disciples, 'There was a rich man who had a steward, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward.' And the steward said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that people may receive me into their houses when I am put out of the stewardship.' So summoning the master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest steward for his prudence, For the sons of this world are wiser in their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself with means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal habitations. In this parable, God is the master, you are the dishonest steward who is about to die and be judged, and the souls in purgatory are the debtors whose debt you canceled. That's why the master went from being angry with the servant to being pleased. If you try to say, as Protestants do, that this is talking about temporal matters, it makes no sense. No master would be pleased that a servant wiped away the debt someone owed him in the physical world. Make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal habitations, does not mean you can be dirty in business dealings, as many Protestants believe. It means give alms for the souls in purgatory, and they'll help you when your time comes. Jesus tells us that giving alms to the poor wipes away our debt. Luke 11:37-41. And as he was speaking, a certain Pharisee prayed him that he would dine with him, and he going in sat down to eat. And the Pharisee began to say, thinking with himself, why he was not washing before dinner. And the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but your inside is full of rapine and iniquity. Ye fools, did not he who made that which is without make also that was within? But yet that which remaineth, give alms, and behold, all things are clean unto you. And as the church teaches, we can apply the benefits of that charity to the souls in purgatory, and again, they will help us out when our time comes. And that doesn't just mean they will help us in the afterlife. They can help us in this life as well. There are many stories of the souls in purgatory helping those in earthly things who help them. So do we have to give them something in order for them to help us? Well, you can pray to the souls in purgatory without helping them, but you're much better off praying to a saint if you're going to do that. It's the saints that are perfect, not the souls in purgatory. But even then, a lot of the official prayers to saints say, I will do this if you answer my prayer. For instance, every prayer to Saint Rita I've ever seen says that you will tell everyone what she did for you in order to further her devotion. But imagine this. Imagine asking the guy standing on the corner holding a sign saying anything helps to do something for you without giving him the help he's asking for. The church is in three places and it's symbiotic. It's here on earth, the church militant, in purgatory, the church suffering, and in heaven, the church triumphant. We pray for the souls in purgatory and the saints pray for us. So if we help a soul in purgatory, they will be more disposed to help us once they become saints. Also, notice that in the parable of the unjust steward, the man's fate was changed because he canceled the debt of others. The master originally told him, you can no longer be my servant. So yes, helping the souls in purgatory helps us save our souls. Why am I saying all this? Well, it's November, and the church offers a plenary indulgence we can earn that can only be applied to the souls in purgatory each day from the 1st of November to the 8th that we visit a cemetery and pray a prayer, even mentally, for the souls in purgatory. You can give it to a specific soul or all the souls. I like to just let Our Lady choose one. In order to gain a plenary indulgence, along with performing the act, you must take communion, go to confession, pray for the Pope's intentions, which would be one Our Father, one Hail Mary, and one Glory Be, and be completely detached from sin, even venial sin. If one of those conditions is missing, it is reduced to a partial indulgence as long as it was done while you were in a state of grace. Obviously, the big one is being detached from all sin, but that shouldn't discourage us from doing it. In the parable itself, the dishonest steward only cancels part of the debt of his master's debtors, and his master was pleased with him. Until my next video, God bless.